Area Voices tells the arts, culture, and history stories of northern Minnesota. Author Kent Nerburn lived in Bemidji for nearly 30 years. His novel, Neither Wolf Nor Dog, has been made into a movie that's showing in select theaters now. Host Katie Carter talked with Kent and director Steven Simpson about the book and the film. Here's Kent Nerburn.
I watch, that's what I do, and then I try to translate it into an art form. And that's what I did with Neither Wolf Nor Dog, is what I had seen and what I had encountered and the people I had met, I tried to turn into a reality for people who were not from Indian country, to go into Indian country and see what it's really like. And by using myself as the narrator, I could take the non-native people and say, come on along with me, get on my back, you know, get behind my skirts, let's go up and let's go into the native world. Mm-hmm. And then I would get there and I would hand them over to the native people. So I've run Dan's speeches and Grover's thinking and Winona's thinking through my own experience and my own language. It always reflected absolutely as accurately as I could, and with as much heart as possible, their way of understanding the world and seeing the world. So by keeping my own identity as a writer and a participant, I was able to capture something about our, meaning the non-native, experience in dealing with the native world. At the same time, I was able to allow the native voices to speak and allow the film and the book to serve as a bridge between cultures. We're so attuned to trying to understand the native world through the filters of our own concepts and our own benign, even if it's benign, understanding of their experience. No, that's not the way to do it. That's an act of power and an act of control. Instead, you have to give yourself over to their world.
Kent Nerburn's novel, Neither Wolf Nor Dog, has recently made its way to the silver screen. Many years ago, Kent had been working as a sculptor, trying to get by and struggling with that, when an opportunity came his way to work with students at the high school on the Red Lake Indian Reservation in northern Minnesota. He created a project in which the students took tape recorders out into the reservation and captured the stories of their parents, their grandparents, and the elders. The result? A compilation of stories and images of times gone by. These projects changed Kent's life.
I loved Red Lake. I loved the people. I was happier on Red Lake than I was in Bemidji. And so here I am working on these projects about Native people and thinking, you know, I see the separation of these two cultures. I wish I could do something to help bring them together. I mean, we're very close, the Native and non-Natives in Bemidji. We brush shoulders. We know each other. But there is something that the non-Native community doesn't understand about the Native people. And that book and that film, I think, starts to speak to what that thing is we don't understand. When I moved into working on Native subjects, which came about because of that accidental opportunity to go onto the reservation and work on the reservation. And what I saw was a world that we needed to share and needed to understand. And so the two things that I think I want to leave, what I want to accomplish with the Native books, are that reintroduction or revisiting of the Native experience into our American historical narrative. I want to tell the Native story in a way that people that aren't interested in it will be seduced to care about and understand. And I also want to talk about the truths that I learned while working with the Native people, the nature of their spirituality and their spiritual gifts that they give to us as a culture, and that maybe we as a people can start to bring back what it was that they had that's been buried and that's been eradicated from our own cultural understanding. Those are really the two goals that I have with these, with the books and the film.
Kent started working on the screenplay for the film back in the late 1990s. Director Steven Simpson would ultimately take that script and bring it to life. He cast Chris Sweeney as Nerburn himself and Dave Baldeagle as the Indian elder Dan.
The film offers a very different opportunity. Film's a different medium. It reaches different people. There are a lot of people that don't read that would go to movies. So I wanted the film to speak to those basic core values of the Native experience. I wanted people to see the Native reality. I wanted them to see Native people. I wanted non-Native people to see Native people. And I think Stephen did a wonderful job in that regard. If you can go to that film and not fall in love with Dan, you got a heart of stone. I mean, Dave Bald Eagle was, he was a gift. He was a gift to all of us. In that he, there's something about the elders from the original language, the ones who have grown up in whatever culture, if they grew up inside the Ojibwe culture, if they grew up inside the Lakota culture, if they grew up inside of any Native culture, speaking that language, raised in the old ways, there's something about them that is different from those who have come of age after that time. And Dave and Dan, they were like one person. Dave inhabited that character in a way that I, you know, that no one else possibly could have. And we'll never see his likes again. Those people are all dying. My hope is that the movie will reach a different audience, that seeing the values and the people embodied in characters on the screen makes them pop and stick in the memory in a different way.
The scene at Wounded Knee.
Mm-hmm.
My eyes started watering. They were just filled with tears. You read about it, but just hearing him tell it, like you just said, you know, you see it in a different way and it pops and you react in a different way, even though you know something's existed. It did all that for me.
And you know that Dave went off script there. Dave had relatives who were at Wounded Knee. He had a personal relation to it. And when we went to Wounded Knee, Dave stopped us out at the gate. And he made us all stand there while he prayed. And we all gave tobacco, and he sanctified the event and honored the event. And when he started filming, we had the script, and Dave always struggled with the script because he's 95, and his capacity to remember lots of dialogue was not great. So when it came time to do that scene, he entered into it so fully that he just talked. That was him talking. And Stephen just kept the camera rolling. So that is a perfect embodiment of the idea of the film as oral history almost. This was a Native elder who has made you care about him during the course of a film, who is speaking something that you might not have been willing to hear had you been only looking at it in a book, or someone said, oh, you want to hear a Native person talk about Wounded Knee? No. You've been brought into it. You've been tricked into it almost by coming to the film and wanting to be entertained. And by the end, what you're getting is someone speaking the truth of his heart about an experience that touches him. The deaths of his grandparents, his friends, his elders, and what that's been to his people. So in that scene, you're hearing the Native heart. And I think that's why it's so powerful. And I will forever be grateful to Stephen for just leaving the camera running and let Dave speak.
No Indian alive dares to think too much for the past. The bones of my people are crying. Our people never had a chance. The soldiers attack us in our homes. They kill our little boys, little bitty girls, and rode away laughing. That's what gets me.
Neither Wolf Nor Dog movie director Stephen Simpson also commented about that scene at Wounded Knee.
We're dealing with the journey of two strangers meeting, and then through difficult circumstances, they ultimately fall in love with each other in a way. They're as friends. There's a deep bond between them. And we actually had more than that on the shoot, in a sense. The bond between Dave and Chris Sweeney at the end of the film was very deep. It's so much affection and love between those two men. And so when we're filming at Wounded Knee, in a strange way, by that point, it's like Dave and Chris as much as it is Dan and Nurburn. And, you know, that kind of works perfectly because they've gone through this journey. And even in terms of when Chris says, you know, how could those soldiers do that? Chris received a Silver Star in the Gulf War and has a knowledge and an awareness and a feeling about that that can resonate through that line in a far deeper way than pretty much anyone that I know, you know, having been sent to war. Dave was a combat veteran as well, and they had a bond through that as well. So it's working on all those deep levels.
So what has the reaction been to the film?
It's fascinating. It's been quite overwhelming because the people that are seeing it first are the people that love the novel that traditionally are desperately disappointed by movies, are loving the film because and are very surprised because it inhabits the same heart and space and because it does that one impossible thing. And that one impossible thing was putting a Dan on screen that could be as amazing as their imagination. I think Dave Bald Eagle is that and more. One thing I loved was, you know, people reach out on social media and somebody sent in a photograph and it was of two theater tickets, one from Saturday mid-afternoon and one from Sunday early afternoon. And it was, this person had been to see it twice in less than 24 hours. And, you know, something as simple as that message coming through to me was so touching.
It's been many years in the making, but the story of Nurburn and Dan has found its way into the hearts of new people through its film adaptation.
It's a different medium. It's a different modality. The book is the right hand. The film is the left hand. And though Stephen adapted it, that's the nature of the process, is you have to make edits, you have to make choices, and you have to use the medium to speak in the way that is most eloquent. And I think he did a wonderful job with it.
In the end, author Kent Nurburn, who wrote the novel Neither Wolf Nor Dog and the screenplay for the movie of the same name, sold the movie rights to director Stephen Simpson for $1. His novel has new legs now and will move through the world in a new way, hopefully continuing to cultivate awareness while building bridges.
I want the film, and I wanted the book, not only to be an apology, but to be a celebration. And I think it is. I think it. People should be able to go into that theater, both native and non-native, and come out with a better understanding of who we are and where our points of cultural difference are and where our points of similarity are. And to me, the most important thing was always that the native people come back and say, yeah, that's the way it is. This guy got it right.
Thanks to author Kent Nurburn for taking the time to talk with me about the inspiration behind his novel and the screenplay, Neither Wolf Nor Dog. And thanks to filmmaker Stephen Simpson for taking the screenplay to Neither Wolf Nor Dog and making it into a movie. I'm Katie Carter. You're listening to Area Voices on Northern Community Radio.
Neither Wolf Nor Dog is showing at the Bemidji Theater and in Rochester, Minnesota through tomorrow night, Thursday, and it opens Friday in Detroit Lakes. Area Voices is made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and the people of Minnesota.